We were still on fifth, what was it? Where was, which one did you say where? You know, I thought you were showing me six. You were up to five. Not a five. We just barely stretched. This was a five. As we left off on Friday Shia, we're trying just to fine tune the principle called Hezek She'eino Nikar. So the Mishnah and the Gemara in the fifth paragraph of Gittin introduced to us this concept that I damage somebody in a way that's not recognizable. Mishnah actually gives you a few examples. Person takes a dead mouse and throws it out to somebody else's truma. Person pours somebody else's wine, levet azara. The person makes somebody's animal pigul. Those are all examples that the Mishnah and the Gemara discussed being Hezek She'eino Nikar. The status of Hezek She'eino Nikar is a little bit tricky. There's actually a machlokes amoraim, and we pass in halacha a little bit of a split psak that if you cause Hezek She'eino Nikar intentionally, then you're going to be chayav. If you cause it unintentionally, b'shogeg, then you're going to be potter. Why the split? Usually be adam mu'ad la'olam. So the Gemara explains that Hezek She'eino Nikar is not really Hezek. Min ha-Torah, it doesn't meet the mark of being Hezek. It's only a knas b'drabbanan. Chazal penalized us. They didn't think it was a very nice thing to walk around and throwing mice at people's truma. So therefore, as a knas b'drabbanan, if you did it on people do things unintentionally. So that was a split that the Gemara had of Masechus Gittin. The problem is that it's very unclear when we're dealing with something which is Hezek Nikar, when we're dealing with something which is Eino Nikar. The words of the Ramban, really at the end of the last sugya, beginning of this sugya, were really, really threw us for a loop as to how exactly to define Hezek She'eino Nikar. So the example that we're talking about is the Mabasa Davbeis, the Mechitza Kem Shenifritza. I have a vineyard and you have a wheat field, and there's a wall properly standing up between the two. The wall falls down, and I dilly-dally, don't do anything about it. I let my vines go ahead and grow into your wheat. And all of a sudden, the Mishnah tells us two things. Number one, it just became, also just became Kilei Kerem. And number two, I'm now chayav to pay. So the question was, I'm chayav to pay, al-twa, what do I have to pay for? So the Ramban said, clearly it's not Hezek She'eino Nikar, because the entire Gemara in Gittin that talks about Hezek She'eino Nikar never mentions this. Nowhere in Bava Kama, when the Gemara talks about the details of Mechitza Kesh Nifritza, no mention is ever made of Hezek She'eino Nikar. Must be Chazal understood, this is called the Hezek Nikar. And you have to stop and scratch it. Why is it Nikar? What's Nikar about this? I'm taking a look at the wheat. The wheat looks just as good as it looked before. So the fact that there were some grapes that grew next to the wheat, what makes that a Hezek Nikar according to the Ramban? So the Ramban developed the Yesod that since the Erbuvia is Nikar, even though the Isser is not Nikar, but the fact that the grapes and the wheat are biyachat together, I look at that, ooh, that's something that everybody realizes. Again, your average non-Jew looks at it and laughs at it. So what? Who cares that it's stuck together? That's not called Hezek She'eino Nikar, says the Ramban. The fact that the non-Jew isn't impressed with the damage, that's not the issue. Hezek She'eino Nikar means that there's no physical change whatsoever. There's zero. Nothing happened. No one can even discern that anything happened. Forget about whether they realize it's relevant that something happened. But the minute that something is physically recognizable as different, these grapes and tefua are growing together. You walk in, you say, hey, there's a balagan here. Again, the non-Jew couldn't care less, but we do care. We care a lot about it. So it comes around and says, once there's a physically recognizable entity taking place on the ground in front of us, even though the consequences are not physical, but the physical presence of reality is there, that automatically is called the Hezek Hanikar. And we began to try to understand this Ramban to see, does this apply to other cases? Are there other precedents for this idea of the Ramban? It seems to be a rather machudistic way of defining Hezek She'eino Nikar. So we began to look at another words of the Ramban, the Kutras Dina Degami, and how we analyze the Gemara of a Kama Tzadi Test. The Gemara talks about a person who shechts an animal and goofs. He had Tavachom and Shekilkil. He ended up trying to shech an animal. He made a mistake, and the animal, lo and behold, turned out to be Nevela. So the Gemara says that sometimes you're going to have to pay, depending whether you're a paid worker or not a paid worker. Sometimes you're going to have to pay. So the Ramban asked the question in the Kutras Dina Degami. He said, wait a minute. I didn't do it on purpose. He wasn't planning on being a novel, making the animal to the nevela. It was clearly a shayeg. Why does he have to pay? Isn't that a hezek she'eino nikar? That was the Ramban's formulation of this question. So let's take a look back at that question once again. Let's take a look at the third of the Marmakamas. In the Kuntras Din, the Gemi of the Ramban, Let's go back, says the Ramban to Atapa. Let's go back to our sugya of Hezek Shel Nikra. Ikashalach, you could ask me the following question. Tabach umen shel kilgel, amai chayav, why is he chayav to pay? So the Ramban's about to go through some intricacies in the shechita to fine tune that question. But wait a second, I want to, before I get to intricacies, I want to understand the question in the first place. The Ramban posed the question. He says, why aren't you putter? If the world's Hezek Shenu Nikar, wait a second. Who said we're talking about Mazik? Who said that the Chiyuv of a Shoichet who messes up, makes the animal to a Nevela, who says that's Mazik altogether? What made me believe that's not an Adam a Mazik? Because the Gemara says that you're Potter, you're Bechinam. The only reason why you're Chayev is because you're getting paid for your work. If you're doing the guy a favor and as a nice guy trying to shuck this animal and mess up, the Gemara says you're Potter. Mazik? Adam or the other? Since when do we ever find distinctions with other mamazik? So clearly what's going on in the Kama, the sugi of Tavachum and Shekilko, is not a sugi of mazik altogether. What is it? We're not sure yet, but mazik for sure it's not. And since it's clearly not mazik, why does the Ramban pose the question altogether? Hey, it's Potter, it's Hezek Shel Nikar. So we cannot even get to the Ramban's teretz, which is going to shed light on the Mechitzker Shenifritza, until we understand the question properly. So the Ramban threw out this question in the Kuddus Dini Gami. Why isn't this part of Hezek Shel Nikar? So stop. I'm not even talking to Zikin now. I'm talking about a different sugya. Who's talking to Zikin? So let's backpedal a little bit and try to understand that sugya in Baba Kama a little bit better in order to appreciate what the Ramban's kasha really is all about. The starting point of Adam HaMazik is a mission at the end of the second paragraph of Baba Kama. Adam mu'ad lo'olam, ben b'shegim, ben b'meizim, ben b'inis, ben b'ratzon, ben b'er, ben b'yosha. It's like the Mishnah throws every case under the sun. Adam mu'ad lo'olam. Come to Rishonim and start to chisel away at this Mishnah. The Rishonim in Baba Kama, and Daf Chav Zayin, the Taisus there, and the Taisus in other places in Shas, points out way to say, the low pashut. It's not an all pashut that Adam mu'ad lo'olam every single time. I'll bring you some proofs otherwise. There's a famous Rishalmi. Rishalmi says, if you're sleeping, you chayef to pay for all damages. Says Rishalmi, not so fast. When do we say Adam Ul Yom Afilu Yoshein? Says Rishalmi. The Rishalmi depicts two different cases. Reuven lies down, and Reuven's fast asleep, and Shimon comes and puts an expensive vase next to Reuven, and Reuven turns over in the middle of the night, and bangs and breaks the vase. Comes to Rishami, says, Reuven is potter. But the Mishnah says, Adam will the Yalma Filu Yashan, says Rishami, not always. This is an exception to the rule. So what's the nature of this exception? Why is this an exception to the rule? So there's Machlikis, and we've shown him, what is it about this case that makes it, quote unquote, potter? So Tosus, in Maseches Bava Kama, the reader of the third paragraph writes, obviously, Adam will the Yalma is Lav Dafka. But Adam of the Olam means when there's some degree, very minimal amount of pshia, of negligence, then you're going to be chayef. But if it's what's called Eines Gomor, and then Tosfos chills away and says, even if it's not Eines Gomor, but it's almost Gomor, says Tosfos, there are going to be cases out there that Adam of the Olam just doesn't apply. And whenever it's Eines Gomor or quasi Eines Gomor, it's going to be Potter. I'm fast asleep, a guy puts a vase next to me. How in the world am I going to know the vase is there? In the Eines Gomor is there. Then Tosfos gives you a few more examples. There's a famous Mishnah, the third Pekah of Kama. Two guys are walking. One guy's carrying a barrel, one guy's carrying a beam. The guy who's carrying the barrel is walking in front, and he stops short and doesn't signal, doesn't scream, I'm out. And the guy with the beam doesn't see him. Yeah. Smashes right into the Baal HaChavis and breaks the Chavis. Mishnah says, Potter. Yes, Tosfos, why is he Potter? Adam Odli Oilam. The answer is, it's not always true. Adam Odli Oilam, Eines Gomor doesn't apply. Comes the Ramban, and it's critical for us because we're talking in the world, we're looking at the sugya to the eyes of the Ramban. Comes the Ramban in Bava Metzia, says it's not true. If the Mishnah says Adam Odli Oilam, then the Mishnah meant Adam Odli Oilam. Adam Odli Oilam, Ome Amaya, Eines, Bebe Rotsa, Bebe Shege, da da da. So why are these two cases potter? What does Rishalmi say? The guy who put the vase down next to the sleeping guy, the sleeper is potter. Why is it that the guy who smashes the barrel and the Baal HaChavis stopped is potter? Says Ramban, there's nothing to do with Adam, there's nothing to do with Eines. That's called Pshias HaNizak. If you cause the damage, if you're the one who got yourself damaged, you put your own foot into your mouth, you're gonna make me chayav. Because you're the fool to put down the vase, you're gonna make me chayav. You're the fool who stopped with the chavis and didn't bother signaling, didn't bother screaming to the guy in front of you, you're gonna make me chayav. Shia Sanizuk is employed there, even according to the Rabban. So it's a very important nafkamina. It's an nafkamina ladina between Tosfos and the Rabban. According to Tosfos, every case of Adam Hamazik, you have to always ask yourself, is the Adam Hamazik Einis Gomer? And if the answer is Einis Gomer, that's going to be positive. According to the Rabban, that's the wrong question to ask. The question is, was there Pshia Sanizuk or not? Fasting Shabbat, somebody told me about that they were dancing at a chasana and their glasses fell onto the floor. And then the next guy in the circle smashed onto the glasses. So the question is the guy who smashed the glasses going to be a chayav or not? So according to Tosfos, it's Chabam Shani's Gomer. I'm dancing at a wedding. I should expect that a guy dropped his glasses on the floor. So the Chara, according to Tosfos, I'm going to be potter about Shani's Gomer. What about according to the Ramban? According to the Ramban, Shani's Gomer is chayav. The only thing is with his pshias anizuk. So that's a very long the shayla. The guy's dancing at a wedding and his glasses are a little loose. Is that pshias anizuk? He should have got to Costco to get the glasses fixed last night if he knew his glasses on. On the other hand, come on, the glasses sometimes fall off, get banged off. Sometimes it's not necessarily pshias anizuk. So according to the Ramban, you can't necessarily go down the root of pshias anizuk. I thought in this particular case, maybe there's another tzar b'hakel. That there's a famous Tosfos in the end of Masech HaSuk, where Tosfos talks about that at weddings they used to do shtick in the old days. So the Shiva Brach would come in on the horses and they would have duels in front of the chassid and the kala. So the problem, Shiva guys didn't exactly know how to duel properly. someone get knocked the other guy off the horse or something. So Tyson writes everyone's potter. Why? Because kach is to kach nagu. Whenever you do something as part of an understood game, if you're not taking the risk. You're going to roller coaster, so you're signing on to say you're accepting the risk. So if you're dancing at a chasana on horses, you're accepting there's a little bit of a risk involved. So kachisnu, that it's understood that some people sometimes get hurt. So maybe one can argue the same thing. That, when you dance at a wedding, so it's understood. So it may step on your foot, so it may give you a zet, so it may knock you down, so it may step in your glasses. These are within the realm of normal things that happen. And therefore, maybe that's all included in that tanai of Kabbalah as well. Again, it's a tactical question. That could be right. Well, the question is that maybe the third part is chayav altin the gami or something. Right, so that's the question. Is that grom is the gami? Right, that gets you right. Maybe that'd be enough for me. Right, that should be enough for me. Right. So the chora, this machlekes Tosfos in the Ramban is now going to become critical for our sugya of tabach umin shekilkel. Right? You mentioned that the shoychet is clearly not another mamazik. A proof positive is not another mamazik. He's part of bechinam. If he's not a mamazik, how in the world can he be part of bechinam? So why isn't he a other mamazik? So let's go through the shitas. So according to Tosfos, I understand why he's not another mamazik, because obviously the gemara must be treating this as an onus. I'm a professional shot. I've been shechting for 50 years. I almost never make nevela. I have no reason to make nevela. What was that crazy thing happened? I slipped on that. It's a little bit of shtickle out of my control. That's considered to be enough degree of an ones in order to be potter. And actually, Tosfos says that. Tosfos in my second Bava Kama brings that as a raya. That if you take a look at the... Take a look at the sixth of the Mamma Kama, Sashit Mukubetz, quotes the Ri, which is the source of the Tosfos in Mamma Kama, where the Ri says that the onus Godlu, the second line of the Ri, the onus Godlu, for Ruach Shen Mitsuya Domil Abed, the Nisko, the Tabach Shekilka Domil Geneva. So that's the question that the Tosfos is raising, is that it could be that these kinds of acts, such as the Tabach Shekilka, is like Geneva, it's like Ines, these are things a little bit off the radar screen. There's such a low degree of Shia, and therefore they're going to be potter. The problem is that according to the Ramban, how do you understand why he's potter? Why is it Tabach Umesh Akilko potter be Tamazik? Who's a Pshia than Isaac? I give you my animal to Shech, I don't do anything wrong, I don't do anything negligent. I give my animal to Shech, and you goofed up. It's true, it's a 1 in 10,000 chance that you're going to mess up. True, it's an Ines. But the Ramban says, even Ines Gomor is still going to be chayev. So what's Pshat? Why is the Tabach Umesh Akilkel not chayev als Adam Amazig? So if you take a look at the Shit Mukbetz again, the sixth of the Mamakamos, it It's the fourth line in the middle of the line. V'chein tabach shekilkil, mishum dekeven shemis askenein letovas hanizak, lav adama ma'aziku. Says the Rival, which is most probably Shittas Ramban as well, the reason why the Shaykhid is not a mazik, mazik by definition means that I'm not trying to help you out. Either I'm trying to hurt you or I'm neutral. But if I'm being called in to do something for your advantage, for your benefit, by definition, that's mufka to shem mazik. You cite from the Shittas Ramban, from the Rival. When I'm asking you to shech my animal, you're doing something with tovasi. Unfortunately, your tova ended up to be a big chisaron. But your kavanah was l'tavasi. Whenever you're being asked to do something l'tavasi, that's not a shem mazik. So what is it? So why is the tabak of shikul kol chayiv if he's getting paid? So the shibuk bats continues. V'yeshlem din shomer. But he's still called the shomer. Im shemechinim l'shemechinim shemesachar shemesachar. I tell the shem, says the Rival, that the tabak uman is not a mazik, for sure not. Not because of Taisa's reasons, because this is the Ramban talking. It's not a mazik because it's l'tovas ha-nizak. The worst we can hit you with is the sugya of shomrim. If we call you a shomer, okay, what degree of shomer are you? So now we have to build all your shomachinim, shomasachi, your chayim, etc. So comes, that's what the Gemara says. If you're getting paid, then you take on the higher level of responsibility called the shomasachar. If you're not getting paid, then you have the lower level called the shomachinim. And this degree of negligence is right smack in the middle. This is the degree of negligence that a shomasachar would be chayef for, and a shomachim would be parted for. So the Ramban explained to us, the Rivash, the Gemetz explained to us a beautiful Agdara, what's going on in the sugi of Tavachom and Shekilgil. Adam Amazik, it's not, it's Miskavel of Tavis Chavero. Shomer it is. Shomer is chayev and he's a shomasachar, potwar is shomachim. Adkan, divrei, hasugi in Babakam. So now that we've proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that Tabachom and Shekilgil has nothing to do with Mazik, it's a sugi of Shomer, where the Ramban wanted Kutus Dibli Gami. So let's go back to that Ramban again. For the third time, read the Ramban's Kasha. Back on the third of the Mamakomos, the middle of the first line, Ikashalach Tabachom and Shekilgil Amaychayev. It's a Hezek Shenanikar. What do you mean Hezek Shenanikar? Who's talking the language of Hezek? I'm talking Shomer, you're talking Hezek. So L'chora, the Ramban is making a tremendous assumption here. The Ramban is assuming that the p'tur of Hezek Sheno Nikar applies to a Shomer as well. If I ask you to watch something and that item gets ruined, but it gets ruined in a way that's Eno Nikar, the standards of Hezek, of the beginning of Baba Kama, the standards of Hezek, Mother Mazik, carry over to the Sugya of Shomer. That a Shomer is also put them in HaTorah on Hezek Sheno Nikar. Why is that? Where did that come from? What's the, that's clear what the Ramban is saying. What's the longest for that? How did the Ramban know that to be true? So the Chor, you could say it in one of two ways. What convinced the Ramban and Lomdus that the parasha, the sugi of Eino Nikar, spills over to Shomer as well? Either you could say it in terms of almost like a metziastic question or a halachic question. A Shomer is chayev because he accepted upon himself to watch. What did he accept? What standards, what book was he using and he accepted upon himself to watch? I'm accepting upon myself to be chayev for what? For any damage that happens to the item, again, the oinus, b'pshia, g'nei, whatever the degree of my shmir is, but the name of the game, the name of my Kabbalah is, I'm accomplishing upon myself loss of the item. Who defines loss of the item? Says the Shit Mekubet, says, obviously what the Ramban must have been assuming was that I'm accomplishing upon myself the Torah's definition of loss of an item. What's the Torah's definition? Hezek She'edon Nikar is not called a loss of an item. The same way that the mazik is potter, I'm not makabel upon myself to be any more chomer than a mazik. Madach min haTorah, the mazik is potter. If I take the mouse and I throw it onto your truma, so even if I did it be a daim min haTorah and potter, if it happened by itself, I'm supposed to be watching your truma, and I was careless, and a mouse came and died and fell into your bal one and died. So it turns out that the mouse was mitame your truma. I'm the shomer. I'm potter. You know why? I was never makabel such a hazard. On my standard of Kabbalah, the Metzias Advarim is my psychological Kabbalah, my degree of acceptance is, I'm willing to sign on the dotted line to the extent that a mazik is no more, no less. That's one way of understanding what the Ramban said. Maybe there's another way of understanding what the Ramban said. Maybe the reason why the rules of Hezek Sheno Nikar spill over to Shomer is for the following reason. There's a Gemara at the beginning of Bava Kama that lists off the 24 Avos Bezikin. Four of them we're familiar with, That's the first bishop of a kamei. Then the Gemara quotes two brises that flush it out. There are 24 kinds of mazik. And the Gemara goes to every single one. The person who's a Edom Zomer on mazik, and an Ones is an Isha is a mazik, and a Ganav is a mazik, and a Gazan is a mazik, and Dalbay, everyone's a mazik. Everyone's considered to be a mazik. And then the brisa lists all four other mazikim. Out of this 24, Shomer Chinam, Shomer Socher, Sholo, and Socher. A four out of the 24 mazikin. What are mazikin for? If I borrow $1,000 from you, I have to pay back $1,000. I'm called a mazik. Not every time I buy a bigger potato, I got to pay you a dollar. I'm a mazik. Not every time you have to pay money, I call the mazik. Why is the shevet called a mazik? So the chayru, what the Gemara is telling us, the chiddush, that the sugya of shomer is not separate and distinct from the sugya of other mazik. There's a difference. There's nuance of difference. Normally, other mazik is only chayiv and I do a ma'ase hezek. Let's say if I walk by your car in the street, I don't know who you are. I have no responsibility for this car. I walk by your car in the street and I see the windows are open, the keys are in, the car is on. It's almost like a big sign. Please come and take. And I walk right by your car and don't know anything about it. I'm not going to be mazik. I wasn't mazik be a dayan. You know what I am? I was mevatel the mitzvah shavu sevedim. I don't have to pay money for being mevatel the mitzvah shavu sevedim. If I go into your car, I start driving the car to try and drive it safely and to protect, then I become a meishiv aveda. That's a different story. Once I make a hakbar, mashiach something on the aveda, then I take on the category of a shomer aveda, then hilchos shomer kicks in. But I didn't do anything. I didn't become a shomer. I simply walked by and didn't do the mitzvah mutalas alai of a shomer aveda. That's not a bechai of me in paying for mazik. But the medivah mamurim, that my just sheer negligence isn't a bechai of me, that's if I'm not called to be a shomer. But once I accept about myself to be a shomer of something, then my not shmira takes on the status of an other mazik. I'm now held responsible for all damages that occur to the degree of my shmira was. Shomer chinim kedisle, shomer sach kedisle, shol sach, whatever your degree of shmira was. But once you accept about yourself a din of shomer, you now become transformed to become the parish, the sugi of shomerim is rooted in the sugi of hezek. I'm chaya for damages that occur, even though I didn't actually do them. So it could be that's what's munach in the sugi at the beginning of Masechet Baba Kama. That's what the Gemara lists, shomer chinim, etc., as part of the 24 mazikin. If that's the case, that the sugya of shomer is ultimately rooted in the sugya of hezek, so then I understand the Ramban's assumption quite well. Hezek shirinik is going to be potter. The same way that hezek shirinik was potter, if I do it via dying, if I take the mouse and throw it into the wine, I'm potter. So too, if I'm the shomer, and my job was to watch the wine from being balanced into by dead mice, so then I didn't do my job. I was, in a sense, I was a mazik. And now we're gonna decide whether this is called a hezek based on the rules of hezek shedon hikar. So we know the dust settles. Whatever the pshat in the Ramban was clearly assuming that hezek shedon hikar governs not just mazik yadayim, it governs shomer as well. Either because that's what the person's kavana was, or because it is shikul tayra that every shomer is all in a certain sense considered to be a mazik. So Baruch Hashem, we've done justice to the Ramban's kasha. So again, we had Ramban's kasha was gevalt. Why is the sheikh who messes up? Why is he chayim? Hezek shedon hikar. So we stopped the Ramban and said, wait. He's talking hezek. I'm talking shomer. So Baruch Hashem, we proved that even though we're talking shomer, we're clearly talking shomer. No question, we're talking shomer. Haraya chinim is potter. We're definitely talking the sugya of shomer. Why it's not a mazik? It's kavod tevus chaveiro. That was the other part of the Ramban. We're clearly talking shomer. The afal pichein, the Ramban was justified in asking the question. So we spent half hour on just appreciating what the kasha. It's also worth it. Come 6:20 in the morning just to learn the kasha of the Ramban. It's also good. Let's see if we could start to get the teretz of the Ramban as well. So for the fourth time, we read the kasha again. So back to the third of the Ramban games. I kasha lach, the middle of the first line. I kasha lach tamar shemukul ma'achayev. So now the Ramban attempts a kasha. Bishlama hagrama v'ikur hezek nikuru al shehiyo drasa hala yadiya. In order to understand what the Ramban's beginning of his question is, we have to take a little step back. Learn this to the drop of a cheshchita. There is a halacha that a person shechts an animal, even though he cut through the both simanim, that doesn't necessarily cancel the kosher shechita. There are actually five different hilchos shechita, which are all halacha moshe mesivah. The Gemara says it's stav moshe ben bi'alpeh on five basic halachas that govern the cutting of the simanim. They have to be done in the proper manner in order for the shechita to be kshera. So one of them is Hagrama. That's the first one that the Ramban mentions. Hagrama means that you shechted the siman, but you shechted in the wrong part of the siman. The siman is a fairly large place, the esophagus and the trachea. On an animal, you have to shecht both of them, and a bird, you have to shecht one of them. Hagrama means that you have to shecht it in a specific part of the siman. If you went a little too high, a little too low, that could potentially become hagrama. That's the whole sugya at the end of the first paragraph. Where exactly? It's machlokes. It's a very, very precise question. Where exactly in the anatomy of the animal is it considered to be hagrama? But hagrama is one of the things that will disqualify shechita. The second one that the rabbi mentions is ikur. Ikur is actually the trickiest of all of them. It's machlokes rishonim what exactly ikur means. So some of the rishonim say that ikur means that the simanim were not like sliced through cleanly, but rather they're very jagged cut. The reason why it was a jagged cut is because the knife had a pegima to it. The Mishnah in Maseches Chulin speaks about knives that have little nicks in them, and the Gemara never explains why is that a problem. So some say that's the halach of ikur, that the siman is not being cut smoothly, being cut like a slice, but rather is being a nikra, it's being literally like ripped through. So that's the second halach. That's a question whether that's exactly what ikur means. Then you have the two other shahia. Shahia means I shechted beautifully, wonderfully, except I took a nap in between. It means I started to shecht, and I stopped. Step practicum will continue. So that's called shahia. So that's a whole sugi in the first paragraph of Chulin. How long of a break can you have that constitutes a break? So again, everyone agrees as the shahia, and the tanoim, where we're trying to figure out just exactly what is included in that halacha now. Terosa means that instead of my cutting the simen by and having the simen being cut by the sharpness of the knife, I pressed down. I took the knife and I pushed against the siman. I pushed hard down against the siman rather than doing a cutting motion. That's the act of derasa. The Ramban left out the last one. It's chalada. Chalada is that I caught the knife. Everything's wonderful, except at the time that I caught, the knife wasn't visible. The reason why the knife wasn't visible, instead of cutting from the front of the siman, I kind of went around the neck a little bit and came out the other way and cut through the siman in a way that coming from inwards outwards. And the knife is hidden at the time of shechita. That's called chalada. So those are kach nevar alach masinai the chamish al chashchitas. So comes the Ramban and says that even though all five of these will disqualify the shechita, in hilchas mazik they may be slightly different from one another. Why is that? Because some of these psulim are actually recognizable afterwards. If you did what's called hagrama, that's the easiest one to understand. If you did hagrama, you shechted the siman in the wrong place. That's easily recognized living. Look at the animal. And say, oh, by golly, the guy's 6 inches off the mark. So that says the Ramban, the psul of Hagrama is not the same as the psul Shahia, for example. Shahia, I look at the siman, it looks the exact same. Nobody knows that I took a 10-minute coffee break in between shechting. So even though it's true midaraisa, both Hagrama and Shahia disqualify the shechita, but they work in very different ways. One of them is Nikola Einayim, and one of them is not Nikola Einayim. Says the Ramban, in Hilchas Mazik, that may make all the difference in the world. So it's in this one line in the Ramban, we have to try to figure out tomorrow what exactly the Ramban meant in this line. It's this one potential difference that the Ramban is trying to draw between different psul shechita that's going to be used to explain the intricacies of Hezek Nikar. So hopefully that's tomorrow. We have to learn a little bit more about the shechita part, come back a little bit more to the Hezek Nikar part, and then go back to connect back to the dots to the Mechitza Kedusha differences. So the goal of this is to fine-tune what is Nika, what is not Nika, specifically according to the Ramban. And then once we get the Ramban sheet down pat, we'll take a look and see what other Shem have to say to try to get our handle on, is Mechitza Kedusha if it's ultimately Nika or ultimately Hezek Shem.
Have a good day. Have a good day.
Thank you. Revi,
yeah.
I'm in Eretz Yisrael. You'll send me to Mama Komos?
Well, for tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. I have to get something to work on today. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully I'll have it later today.
Shkach. Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome.